Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Sun Guy Nation, welcome to the show. Here on another Friday, Sun Guy with you like normal. Some show notes real quick before you jump into things with the guest. If you're looking for some wrestling tonight, you have WCWO, like usual, at the Outlaw Arena in Indianapolis, Indiana. WTF down the road in Carmel, Indiana. Hood Slam in Oakland, California. EWF in Covina, California. MWA in Topeka, Kansas. And Rockstar Pro in Dayton, Ohio. Tomorrow night, Emerge will be in Columbus, Indiana. ICCW in Benson, Alabama. DCCW in McLeany, Florida. BCW in Waukesha, Wisconsin. WPW in DePere, Wisconsin. IWR in Dallas, Texas. TAW in Maryville, Texas. EPW in Athens, Tennessee. Prestige Wrestling in Hermiston, Oregon. And BWF happening in the Bronx, New York. Without further ado, I would like to welcome our guests back to the show. Scarecrow, how are you doing?
I'm doing just fine.
Well, you've been a busy, busy man the last few months. Since you've been on our show, you've been very busy. You have gone to a great number of new promotions. You've gotten out there. You've been selling merchandise like hotcakes. You've done tags. You've done singles. You've done a lot of things. One of the things I wanted to ask you, though, how has been the transformation from you, from your previous identity in wrestling to Scarecrow? It seems to really have jump-started your career. What was the transformation like for you?
Well, as everybody knows, back in September 2006, I started out as Fast Eddie Felsen, and then fast forward to 2014, I was going through some personal issues in my life, and I started a group called the JWO with a couple of friends of mine, and, you know, we're big-time heels. And my now brother-in-law came up to me and said, hey, why don't we just paint our faces, you know, to be different? So I slowly started changing my name to Scarecrow and started painting my face with black paint, and then all of a sudden it just jump-started everything, turned me babyface, and I added white to it, and I've been Scarecrow for the last 4 years.
Now, Scarecrow has been a very popular fixture in a number of promotions. You've branched out a little bit, gone to other promotions in the state of Indiana as well as in Ohio. Having been to all these promotions, when you go to a new place, do you find that it's fairly easy to connect with the fans right away, or does it take them a couple of shows to really get into the Scarecrow?
The one in Ohio, they don't know how to take to me yet. Some of them cheer me, some of them boo me, but, you know, basically like The Undertaker, I guess. I'm a mysterious, dark character. But I mostly get cheered, though.
I mentioned the merchandising, and I know that you sell a lot of merchandise at shows. What is your business plan as far as merchandise? Do you look at what other people are putting out there and try to base your merchandise around that, or do you have your own specific marketing plan for merchandise? What goes through the business aspect of it?
Well, what we're working on right now is t-shirts. and I sold a lot of those, and I'm in getting ready in to get in talks with the guy that makes my t-shirts, which is BS Designs, and we're trying to work on getting hats made, tablecloth made, and then maybe some other stuff like cups and tumblers and stuff like that. And then I got another buddy that knows a guy that knows how to make like figurines and possibly go that route too.
That's some really nice merchandise you're coming out with, some stuff that's different than a lot of people have on merchandise tables.
Yep.
Now, you mentioned the face paint out there. In my career, in a lot of places I've been, I know some wrestlers that paint their face get a lot of flack in the locker room because some wrestlers go out there and they will leave face paint all over the mat, all over their opponent's gear, the referee's gear, and it creates a mess whenever they go to the ring. I know a lot of wrestlers have mastered how to keep the face paint from creating messes like that. Since you've been doing this for 4 years, what advice would you have as far as the type of paint to use and kind of the protocol of keeping things clean for a young wrestler that might be thinking of incorporating face paint in the future?
Okay. When I first started, I was using a cream-based paint, and then there was a couple of guys that told me, hey, there's some better paint out there. And he's like, you can go to Walmart and get the apple barrel, and that's what I've been using. And sometimes I'll add a little bit of powder into it to, you know, get the paint smell out of it. And that way, when you're out in the ring, it just peels away instead of smearing, basically. And I always use a white gloss for my white paint, and then a pack black for my eyes and my mouth.
Now, when you were experimenting early on with this, did you get any flack from the other wrestlers or other people in the locker room because of messes that left, or is it something that is just kind of accepted in locker rooms where you were?
Well, I really didn't get told or anything. I just noticed, you know, if I was on the mat or something, it'd leave a little smear on there, and then I thought to myself, I got to do something different. And then I came across a guy that paints his face all the time, and he said, hey, here's a good idea. And so I go to Walmart all the time and get me the apple barrel paint now. So that's pretty much what I use. But no, nobody's ever, you know, had an issue when I first started using it.
One of the things that a lot of people in the wrestling industry will eventually start doing at some point is training the next generation of wrestlers. A lot of people on the independents will set up shop in a ring before a show and work out with the younger kids. Some people start up a formal wrestling school either by themselves or with some of the promoters they work with. Have you ever thought of getting into the training aspect of wrestling and teaching the next generation of wrestlers?
Actually, yeah, I have. A couple of years ago is when I started helping out training at Hoosier Pro Wrestling out there in Columbus, Indiana. And then after that, I started going to another promotion, helping the young guys there. And, you know, and some of the young guys that I train, they really look up to me, especially at Indianapolis Championship Wrestling. You know, one guy, he like literally, we're like brothers now, but they respect the way I was trained, and you know, and I told them, you know, I'm going to train you the way I was trained, and if you can't make a payment to the promoter, then we won't train until you can make that payment. And I mean, My main goal is to actually open up my own training school around where I live at.
In a similar vein to that, besides training, a lot of wrestlers will look at running their own shows when they get to a point where they're comfortable doing that. Have you ever considered getting into the promoting aspect of things?
Not offhand, not yet. I've had a promoter ask me if I wanted to go half in owning a company, but right now with everything going on in my personal life, I held out, you know, because there's some things that's going on, like trying to get a new house and stuff like that. So I want to get my priorities done first before I even think about trying to run shows.
Very good game plan, having things straight. And we know that you have some children as well, and a lot of wrestlers in your area have seen their children follow in their father's or their mother's footsteps and get into the business as well. There seems to be a lot of second generation and some third generation in the Midwest. Is something down the road going to either make you want to see or not want to see your children become professional wrestlers like yourself?
Well, the way I see it, it's their decision on if they want to do it or not. Like my oldest three girls, I really don't see them pursuing it. And then my youngest daughter, I'm not 100% sure, but I know my stepson, we're sometimes in the living room or something, and we'll, you know, he'll pretend to super kick me or something, you know, and then, you know, we'll play wrestle a little bit, and, you know, if it's something he would want to do, I would like to be the one to train him, for one. And, you know, it's a funny story that you say that, because my two nephews and my stepson are actually part of the ICW roster as Children of the Corn, and sometimes they escort me to the ring. And then, you know, once we get to the ring, I'll send them off to my wife. And then, one time my stepson was in the locker room and accidentally got super kicked, and, you know, he loved it. I mean, he cried for a few minutes, but then after that, he's like, that was awesome. But, you know, if my stepson was to pursue it, I'm 100% for it.
Now, when wrestlers incorporate their kids into things in the business, kind of like what you were just describing, where they escort you to the ring, or they get put into auxiliary roles like running the sound or setting up the ring, things like that, do you think that there's a little bit added pressure for those kids to do things right since their fathers are in the business, and a lot of times it's just expected that they will know how and what to do just by being the son of one of the wrestlers? Or do you think that it's a little bit easier for those kids when they're starting out and they're doing the auxiliary roles because maybe they have seen how things are ran a little bit more often than what someone off the street would?
That I'm not 100% sure. I would probably say it'd probably be easier for them since they, you know, if they go to the shows with the fathers, they would, or mothers, they see what goes on, you know, how things are sold and way things are done. And then sometimes you got guys that put a lot of pressure on their kids, you know, that are wrestlers. Like if they do a spot a certain way, then, you know, you can see that the father, you know, like, hey, you need to do this a better way. It's supposed to be done this way and not that way. Let's work on that more. So, I mean, it's 50-50 to me.
Now, you, in the most recent couple of years, have done a lot of tag team wrestling, often with Cousin Cooter, as an addition to your singles career as well. Just looking at the last few years, do you find yourself having a preference as far as tag team wrestling or singles wrestling?
Personally, I like doing singles, only because, you know, I can call everything on my own, and you know, versus a tag team, you know, you gotta talk to everybody, pretty much a referee, the person you're wrestling, all that stuff. And, you know, I don't mind doing tag teams. Like I said, I got a faction named Cornfield Mafia, but, you know, in the one promotion I'm in, it's, you know, Cousin Cooter and Gunner Lee basically are the tag team, you know, guys to go for the tag titles. And I usually just stick with the singles, but, you know, they need help, I'm always there, you know, to back them up 100%. So I, you know, pretty much prefer singles a lot.
Well, we are in the point of the show where we have a game we like to play called Word Association. I believe you've done this before. I'll throw out the names of some people you have come across in your career, and the first word or two that pops into your head is the answer. Are you ready for a Word Association round right now?
Yep.
All right, here we go. Rampage Radisson.
Let's see. But I'd have to say Mean.
Jesse Bell.
Jesse Bell. Let's see. Well, she's a. I don't know. It's been a while since I've seen her, but I have no idea, honestly.
All right. Referee Toby Lee.
Toby Lee, probably one of the best.
Ace Jackson.
Ace Jackson, he's my number one nemesis now, but he stabbed me in the back Saturday night. He was a brother, but I'd just say backstabber.
Echo the Clown.
Another one of my nemesis. I'd have to say he's very methodical on his stuff.
Cousin Cooter.
He's my brother-in-law, so I'd go with brother.
Shauna Reed.
Shauna Reed, she's another one. One of the best top female talents. So I'll say awesome.
Jonathan Wolf,
I've had some run-ins with him. He's a second or third generation, I should say. And I'd probably say top dog.
Terrell Rose.
Kentucky Fried Chicken.
All right. The last name, Shane Douglas.
Shane Douglas. Actually, I met him 2 weeks ago, Thanksgiving night. Kind.
All right. That concludes Word Association. Hey, you brought up Thanksgiving night. And Thanksgiving night was a little bit of an emotional night for a lot of people in the Midwest, as Rob Kincaid had passed away a few days prior to that. The show he was promoting went on as planned and was made a tribute show. I know the show you were on paid tribute to Rob as well. He was someone that was very well known in the Midwest independence. He was actually pretty well known out here in our area through P people meeting him at the CAC. What are some of your memories of Rob Kincaid?
I know if he was in a locker room that we were sharing, he would watch some of my matches. And then if I did something that, you know, I messed up on and I knew I messed up on, you know, he would let me know and he would bluntly tell me. And, you know, basically, I mean, he was a kind-hearted man. I have so much respect for him. And, you know, it's just, it's sad the way things happened with him. But, you know, he would always tell me, you know, where I did good and what I could do better, you know, and he always had a hug for me. That tells you his character.
Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT is standing by, and I know QT has questions also, so I'm going to shoot things over to QT for a bit.
All right.
Well, thank you, Sangai. Hello, Mr. Scare.
Hey.
Welcome back to the show. Mr. Scare, you said you were thinking of opening up a training school in the future. Do you have any buildings picked out or locations?
Right off, I live in Aurora, Indiana, so there's an empty building there that's been up for sale for some time, and I thought about, you know, looking around at that, see how much that would be to run per month.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you have to contact a local realtor to give you to go. Do you have to have a license to buy this building, a real estate license?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Okay.
Yeah, it used to be a bar, so.
Oh, okay. Does it have the appearance of the Cheers bar? The Cheers bar. Yes, where everyone knows your name. Is it that type of appearance?
No. Oh, okay. I mean, it's got a big stage and a little bar and then a bunch of tables. That's pretty much it. I mean, they're in the process of remodeling it when they shut it down.
Oh, okay. All right. Do you yourself have any plan to put in a window and a stained glass window with a scarecrow etched into the glass?
That's no, that sounds like a good idea, though.
Yes, I think it would be. Yes. Okay. Well, Mr. Scare, did you ever see the YouTube video of the match that took place 35 years ago in Madison Square Garden when the Dynamite Kid took on the wrestler known as Tiger Man? I think you are similar in stature physically to Tiger Mask.
No, I haven't watched it, but now you say that, I should take a look at it.
Oh, okay, I hope you can do this for your homework assignment, the Dynamite Kid versus Tiger Mask. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, Mr. Scare, are there any plans to make Cousin Cooter's Chicken a member of the Cornfield Mafia?
Yeah, well, it's been brought up several times.
Okay, several times, all right. I'm going to put that down as pending, okay. All right. Well, Mr. Scare, can you tell us who you will be facing on December 22nd at the Battle of the Border Christmas Chaos?
Well, this guy would be the first time I've been in the ring with him. So I can't remember his name offhand, off the bat, but Atticus Cougar, that's his name. I'll be facing him. He's a dark character, but nobody really likes him. So the fans there are going to get a good match. So we'll have to see.
Okay, all right. Well, Mr. Scare, a lot of people symbolize or they free associate the Scarecrow as kind of a stationary character. Can you yourself tell us how your cardio has been this past couple months? Do you yourself, have you broken out of the mode of a stationary character and done miles of road work to help your cardio?
Well, being a former firefighter, I know how to control my breathing and stuff like that. And, you know, I try to keep my body in shape as good as possible, but when the wife makes some good dinner, it's hard to pass up. So soon there's going to be a gym opening up in my area that I'm going to start hitting every chance I can get. So, but my cardio's all right, I guess.
Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Crow, as Fast Eddie Felsen, you were a founding member of the JWO. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners what the JWO stood for?
Stood for Juggalo World Order. Me and my buddy started it up and got my brother-in-law, Cousin Cooter, in it, and a guy named Fiji Wildman. And it didn't last long, but we ended up holding a tag team championship under the name for a little bit.
What would be your top two standout memories competitive-wise for the JWO? Would it have been June 16th against Shane Mercer?
I wasn't under the JWO banner at that time, but I'd have to say that was one of my top matches was against Shane Mercer. He's been everywhere, and he actually wrestles for JCW sometimes. He's been to NXT a couple times, so I'd have to say that's probably one of my top matches right there.
Wow, okay. Now, weren't you on a podcast recently called Wrestle Podcast? How did that go?
It went pretty good. Talked to the guy from there, Robin Nelson, and, you know, it was the beginning of my career for Battle on the Border, you know, if I had anything to say to the owner and stuff like that. So, yeah, it was pretty good.
Wow, okay. How long did that show last, or interview?
Probably a half hour to an hour.
Oh, okay. All right. Does he himself have good entrance music to his podcast show?
Do what?
Does he have good entrance music for his podcast show?
Yeah, I believe so.
Oh, okay. Because I believe here at Turnbuckle Turmoil, we have the best in the nation. Yes. Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Crow, the members of KISS are known as the Demon, the Star Child, the Cat, and the Spaceman. Are there any truths to the rumors that you will be taking a break from wrestling in 2019 and joining them on their world tour?
Well, considering that that's my father-in-law's favorite band, I wish I could do that.
Oh, okay. Are you musically inclined? That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah, I used to play guitar and vocals for a band I used to be in.
Oh, wow. You a vocal. Wow, okay. All right. Can we ask what the name of this band was?
It was called Devoured by Sinners.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, Mr. Crow, the scarecrow is often used by farmers in agricultural fields to scare away birds from crops. My question is, do you consider yourself one of the top scarecrows around the agriculture due to your wrestling background, which many millennial scarecrows seem to avoid?
Well, let's see. I'm not sure. I know whenever a little kid sees my face painted, they kind of freak out for a minute. But I pretty much ride myself with crows. So,
did you yourself get a degree in agricultural management?
No.
Okay. Well, Mr. Crow, in some parts of the country, scarecrows are now fitted with highly reflective aluminized film ribbons that are woven into their clothes so as to create shimmers from the sun to scare birds. My question is, do you currently wrestle in gear that has aluminum film ribbons, and if so, do they ever distract your opponent?
No, I never thought about doing that, but maybe sometime in the near future when I make some new gear, I possibly put something on there to reflect, to distract my opponent. But I fight fair.
Okay,
so.
Very good. All right. Okay. Well, Mr. Scare, the farmers in Pennsylvania often go to the local steel factories to get industrial hard hats for their scarecrows. In Birmingham, England, as well as Manchester by the sea, their scarecrows are often topped with a proper English derby. And in China and Laos, they are often topped by those bamboo hats shaped like a pyramid. My question is, have you ever pulled a scarecrow hat from your trunks and used it as a foreign object?
No, like I said, I fight fair, so I don't cheat to win or anything like that.
Okay, all right. Well, Mr. Scare, some historians liken the scarecrow as a symbol of a no trespassing symbol, warning invading armies to keep out of a country in much the same way as Vlad the Impaler did when he put people on spikes to scare any invading army that would cross the Carpathian Mountains to enter his Transylvania home. In your opinion, how would Vlad the Impaler done in a steel cage match against Doink the Clown?
He probably would have impaled Doink the Clown.
No. Well, Vlad the Impaler, very ruthless and bloodthirsty. However, Doink the Clown had several tricks up his sleeve. Yes, maybe he himself would have made Vlad the Impaler a scarecrow by tying him up in the ropes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Mr. Crow, did you know a British wheat farmer built a scarecrow in the likeness of Lady Gaga as she appeared on the 2010 Brit Awards show that were wreaking havoc with his wheat crop? Have you heard of this farmer that built a scarecrow?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay. Now, I realize that was slightly off the topic of wrestling, but I had to segue there. Okay, very good. All right. Well, Mr. Scare, I have heard one winery in the Napa Valley that uses inflatable tube men to protect their grapes. To your knowledge, has there ever been a wrestler named the Inflatable Tube Man? And if so, could you kick his or her ass?
No, I've never heard of the name, so no. If there was, I probably would be able to.
Wow, all right, okay. Well, Mr. Scarecrow, if you had a time machine like Stewie Griffin on The Family Guy, and you could travel back in time to participate in a match with Coco Beware, in your opinion, would you throw him off his game plan by scaring Frankie the Parrot?
Oh, I probably would. Heck yeah.
Oh, okay, throw him off his game plan. Very good. All right. Well, Mr. Scare, the British band Pink Floyd recorded a song called The Scarecrow for their debut album, The Piper at the Gates of Dawn. John Cougar Mellencamp's album, Scarecrow, peaked at number 2 in 1985. It produced 5 top 40 singles, including the song that peaked at number 21, Rain on the Scarecrow. My question is, do you have either of these songs as your entrance music?
Yeah, I actually did use one of the songs as my entrance music. But it was one of his songs, but Reckoning Land sang it.
Okay. Will you now, after this interview is over, go on YouTube and listen to the song Scarecrow by Pink Floyd on their debut album, Piper at the Gates of Dawn, and possibly consider that song as your entrance music?
Yeah, I could possibly do that.
Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Scare, the village of Blackrod near Bolton in Great Manchester holds a popular annual Scarecrow Festival over a weekend, usually in early July. Do you hope to contact this festival in England? Do you hope to contact the committee to hold a, include a, maybe incorporate in a future wrestling event there overseas?
I'm not sure. I don't know if I'd ever want to travel that far, honestly.
Do you ever hope to wrestle in Japan, where the Scarecrow is very popular and holds hundreds of years of tradition?
Yeah, if I possibly had the chance to, that'd probably be an option.
Wow, okay, all right. Yeah. Now, who is this Iron Demon that you have been scouting, the Iron Demon?
Oh, I've already worked him. That was Shane Mercer.
Oh, okay, Shane Mercer. Wow, okay, all right. Well, how have your T-shirt sales been going as you have transitioned from the, to the Scarecrow? Have you seen a jump in your T-shirt sales?
When I first made them, I was selling them left and right, and then now recently sales are kind of slow, but I got a new shirt made with new designs on them, so hopefully they'll start selling pretty well now.
Now, I have heard rumors that you also dealt with someone named Echo the Evil Clown. Can you tell us about Echo the Evil Clown?
Yeah,
and
he was
from the dark side of the tent.
Yeah, he was formerly known as Doink the Clown, and you know, there's a time where we were wrestling for a title, and then I kept taking his pins from him, and he kept taking my pins from me, and then he ultimately ended up turning his back on me, and we ended up having a feud for almost a year now.
Wow, okay, all right. Boy. Okay, can you tell us if TJ Kemp or Flash Flanagan may soon come into your camp and aid the Scarecrow? TJ Kemp or Flanagan?
Well, I don't know about TJ Kemp, but I'm hoping Flash Flanagan will come in and give me a hand if I ever needed it. I have to give mad props to Flash though, because he's been giving me some opportunities, and you know, and something I, you know, very appreciative about that he's done for me. So
wow, all right, okay. Well, now earlier Sign Guy, I think he touched on injuries about a year ago. A year and 2 months ago, you had a injury to your foot where you pulled some ligaments and you couldn't walk for almost a week. How is your foot doing these days? And did you give away your walking boots with your autograph?
Well, what had happened was I was in the middle of a 5-man match, and there was a couple of rookies in the ring, and Jonathan Wolf went to go do a suicide dive over the top rope, and one of the rookies ended up landing on my foot, and it pulled my ligament. You know, at first I thought it was literally broken because it popped, you know, and then my wife was recording my matches for me, and she thought it was part of the show, and a lot of people thought it was part of the show. And then I tried to stand up and couldn't. And then whenever I fell back down, I ended up taking my shoe off, and my wife realized I was really hurt and got rushed to the hospital to get it checked out. And the first couple of hospitals that I went to, they couldn't tell me anything. And then then the final hospital I went to, they ended up giving me a walking boot, and I was in that for about 2 to 3 weeks. And then when I couldn't wrestle, I did a bit of refereeing a little bit.
Oh, okay. All right, refereeing. Okay. Okay. Now, we here at Turnbuckle Turmoil have come to an agreement that the Scarecrow kind of paints a picture like these goth kids, especially the goth kids that drink coffee at Denny's at 1 a.m. Have you yourself been contacted by any goth kids in the Indianapolis area?
Well, there's some goth kids that look up to me, especially at like HPW. I haven't seen many Indianapolis championship wrestling though, but yeah, I'm pretty sure that, you know, they look up to me.
Wow. Okay. All right. Have you ever been contacted by any late night talk show hosts to go on their show, like David Letterman maybe?
Oh, no, not yet.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, at this time, I'm going to turn it back over to Sign Guy, and good luck with your upcoming match, Battle of the Border.
Thank you. Thank you.
Back to you, Sign Guy.
Thank you, QT. Well, Scarecrow, you touched on it a little bit earlier when we brought up Toby Lee, and you mentioned you yourself have refereed. But refereeing is a very important part of professional wrestling, and a lot of the people that officiate the matches oftentimes get overlooked by fans. A lot of times they get overlooked by other members of the wrestling community as far as how vital they are to a successful show. In the travels you've done and the shows you've been a part of, who would you say are some of the better referees out there right now?
My top number one pick would be Jason Ayers, who is now in the WWE. And then, my number two guy would be Toby. Back then, him and Jason were probably the only two that I would trust in my matches. And then now, that Toby's gone off to do different things with different promotions, Greg Burns is one of them from HPW, and then I'd have to say Wayne Silverman is probably the ones that I prefer to ref my matches at HPW. And some of the younger guys that when I go to Indianapolis Championship Wrestling, the referees there, they're trained to go 1-2-3. If you don't kick out, they still have to go 1-2-3, because that's the way they're trained. And now, pretty much referees are getting better now. So,
now another thing that a lot of wrestlers have is a favorite venue. A lot of people, for whatever reason, be it the aesthetics, be it just the crowds that usually go to that arena or whatever other reason, they have a venue where they like to go more than the other places they wrestle. Do you personally have a favorite venue?
Not really. My number one would be HPW because that's my home. And then you got Indianapolis Championship Wrestling, and then, they get, their crowds when they do. And then Battle on the Border will probably be number three, because they hold shows every 3 months, so they get 300-400 people in the building to come to the show. So, but I'd always probably say HPW is my number one.
Now, we talked about merchandising earlier. One of the things that a lot of wrestlers around the country have been doing for the last few years is making trading cards and using it almost more like a business card than a traditional trading card. Have you yourself considered using trading cards?
No, that's never crossed my mind, getting a trading card. But like I said, you know, the option's out there, so I could probably get into, you know, probably get that. That way has all my stats and stuff on there, how many championships I've held, you know, stuff like that.
One of the trends in wrestling right now is a lot of promotions have opened up, and they're strictly more of a comedy-based promotion. You have places like Chikara, Gouge Wrestling in North Carolina, Hood Slam, 321 Battle up here started out that way. There's a lot more all comedy-based promotions. Would a promotion like that hold any interest for you as far as a place where you would want to go wrestle, or is that something out of your comfort zone?
I could possibly maybe do a comedy-type wrestling show. Granted, I don't hardly ever do anything comedy, like funny-wise, but I could probably add something to it.
Well, we've seen the advent of a whole lot of different styles that have become popular in the United States over the last few years. The British style has been gaining more and more traction from fans as far as a style that gets accepted and enjoyed. The Lucha Libre style has really exploded over the last few years. The Japanese strong style has always been popular amongst wrestling fans in the United States. Do you personally have a favorite type of style of professional wrestling?
Not really. I've just been sticking to the old school style. That's the way I was trained, so that's pretty much what I've been doing. You know, and then there's times where, you know, I'll go to, you know, I went to Cody Hawk's wrestling school one day because I got, you know, a buddy in there, and we did, you know, a couple of new school stuff that Cody Hawk taught me, so.
Cody Hawk, a very excellent trainer, and I know he's trained a couple of people that have popped up at HPW. When you look around the Ohio wrestling scene, there are a lot of great trainers out there as well, guys like Cody Hawk, guys like Les Thatcher, and there are several others out there that are very respected as well. When you're thinking of doing a training school like you mentioned earlier, have you gone to a lot of the different training schools just to try to observe and learn a little bit what trainers are doing as far as how they're teaching these kids and what's working, what's not working, that type of thing?
Sometimes, like I said, I went to Cody Hawk's school to see how he does his stuff and, you know, basically how to do bumps first, and then they work their way up to like running the ropes, and from running the ropes, how to lock up, and you know, and then do like a, you know, how to start a match off, and then work their way to the middle of a match, and then work their way to the end of the match. So yeah, I've watched here and there. So
now we talked a little bit about tag team wrestling earlier. I always say that it's a little bit of a different psychology to it than your standard singles match. When you do a tag team match, do you have sort of a different mindset as far as what you need to do to be successful in the ring as opposed to when you're doing one-on-one, or do you treat it basically the same?
To me, I probably think harder about it because you're not only wrestling one person, you're wrestling two people, and then try to get a tag into your partner when you're wore out or something. So I try to, if I'm in a tag team match, I try to, you know, concentrate on two opponents and not one.
I know that in your career, you've probably been a part of quite a few stipulation matches. Those are always very popular with the fans, and promoters have put out a wide variety of stipulation matches over the years, some designed to be kind of a brutal type of match where you're going to see a lot of blood, a lot of hardcore type of things, some of them more comedic in nature, some of them to build up the athleticism of the people involved. What's been your favorite stipulation match thus far?
My favorite one, I would probably have to say my ladder match. Because, for one, I'm undefeated in ladder matches now. But I'd have to say ladder matches because each time that I was involved in a ladder match, a title was involved, and I won the HPW Cruiserweight title, and then at CPWA, I won the heavyweight title. So I'd have to say the ladder matches.
Well, we're getting down towards the end of the program now, so I want to make sure you have plenty of time. If there's anything you'd like to say to the listeners, plug and promote anything and everything you have, social medias, upcoming appearances, merchandise, your favorite sports team, anything in the world, floor is all yours.
All righty. Well, this is Scarecrow getting ready to sign out, but before I go, I'd like to promote a great wrestling promotion coming up on December 22nd. Battle on the Border, Harrison, Ohio, Scarecrow versus Atticus Cougar. It's going to be one of the top best matches of the night. So if you're in the Ohio area, in southern Indiana area, get out there and check the show out. You get over 400-plus people there. It's a great show. And then my upcoming show for HPW in January. And so it's going to be a good time.
Well, Scarecrow, as usual, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on the show. Always a blast to have you on here. And hopefully I will be sharing a locker with you again relatively soon down the road. And if you get the chance to see Scarecrow, definitely go buy yourself a ticket. Scarecrow, always a crowd favorite, doing great things there in the Midwest. Support him, support what he does. Hit his merchandise table for sure. We will be back with you on Sunday afternoon. We have Tommy Celsius right out of our own backyard joining us. Tommy C. will be here. Should be a great time. So make plans to be with us then. And we will talk to you Sunday afternoon.
Let's all unwind. No changing plans, we're gonna have a good time. Watch that show. Bye.